Today being Christ the King Sunday, our message will address that as causing us to think, who is our Lord? Take out your Bible and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Our scripture reading will come from verses 11 through 16 and then 20 through 24. Follow along as we read the Holy Scriptures, Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 11. The Lord God proclaims, I myself will search for my flock and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out the flock when some in the flock have been scattered, so will I seek out my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered during the time of clouds and thick darkness. I will gather and lead them out from the countries and peoples. I will bring them to their own fertile land. I will feed them on Israel's highlands, along the riverbeds, and in all the inhabited places. I will feed them in good pasture, and their sheepfold will be there, on Israel's lofty highlands. On Israel's highlands, they will lie down in a secure fold and feed on green pastures. I myself will feed my flock and make them lie down. This is what the Lord God says. I will seek out the lost, bring back the strays, bind up the wounded, and strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy, because I will tend my sheep with justice. Verse 20. So the Lord God proclaims to them, I will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. You shove with shoulder and flank, and with your horns you ram all the weak sheep until you've scattered them outside. But I will rescue my flock, so that they will never again be prey. I will even judge between the sheep. I will appoint for them a single shepherd, and he will feed them. My servant David will feed them, and he will be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be their prince. I, the Lord, have spoken. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, you are the good shepherd, the king who provides, guides, and revives. May we be guided and revived by your words. In the mighty name of Jesus, Christ our King. Amen. I used to have this t-shirt with a picture of Christ on the front of it. And he was wearing the crown of thorns, and he had a cross across his back, and he was down in push-up position doing push-ups. And across the top it said, Lord's Gym. And on the back it said, His pain, your gain. And this Jesus picture, he was jacked. And by that I mean he was built like a bodybuilder. And thinking about that, there's an idea behind this t-shirt of how tough, how strong, how mighty God is. How strong and how tough Jesus is. And how we should be tough as people who follow Christ. And then somewhere in all this, there is this ongoing renewed sense within our culture of being tough people, of this machoism for men. And this, a lot of this change in society and our culture seems to be based on the premise of a quote from G. Michael Hopps' post-apocalyptic novel, Those Who Remain. And in it, he says, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. The quote sums up a cyclical vision of history and implies that war and economic suffering, that hard times often give rise to people who are resilient and powerful and capable of conquering adversity. That these courageous people are somehow able to bring in and create wealth through their own efforts and their own resolve and their own ingenuity. And that through that they make themselves kings and lords. There's a lot of desire for that within our culture today. And looking back in ancient Israel, the people back then weren't too different because they were waiting for such a king. They were looking for a king who would come from the line of David, who would be a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one who would overthrow Rome and place Jerusalem as the greatest nation in the world. And then when Jesus came, he depicted an entirely different kind of kingdom. He depicted himself as the shepherd king. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd as described in the 23rd Psalm. That he is the shepherd as he describes himself in John as the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And then he draws heavily on the prophet Ezekiel. And back in Ezekiel's day, a shepherd was more than just someone who watched over the sheep and their flocks by day and by night. It was also a metaphor for a ruler, for a leader, for the rich and the powerful and the influential. And a shepherd was someone who could help or harm the people simply with their words or their rules. And Jesus embodies the fullness of this shepherd, the one who watches over and watches out for his people, for his flock, that he is the good shepherd who goes out to seek his lost. He goes out into the darkness where they were scattered, and he rescues them. He leads them home, and he will seek out the lost, bring back the strays, heal the wounded, and strengthen the weak. And then he will judge. He will sit on his throne as king and judge how his sheep treated one another. He will judge how the strong treated the weak, how the rich treated the poor, how the powerful preyed upon and scattered the flock to maintain their positions of privilege. He will judge them and he will make things just. He will make things right. In this role as ruler, as judge, as shepherd over the sheep who brings justice to the flock, is precisely how Jesus performed his ministry. Because here's the thing. In his justice, Jesus brought judgment. His judgment was against the evils of this world. His judgment was a condemnation of the oppressive evils of the empire, which was Rome at the time. Who might that be today? His justice was against the unjust evils of the religious, which were the self-righteous, which are the self-righteous, who shun others in God's name. Who might that be today? Jesus sought justice for the least and the last and the lost, who were accused and abused and oppressed by the political and religious overseers. Much of Jesus' work was actually working to fix those things which the self-righteous folks harmed. He was working to fix the damage done by those who had distorted God's image. He was working to fix those things, the harm that people had done in the name of God. And somewhere along the lines, through a cyclical vision of history, we see people who chose power over principles, might over mercy, and wealth over divine worship. And they worshiped themselves instead of the living God. They chose their own image of God and made God in their image. And they hid the image of the living and loving God who is slow to anger, abounds in mercy, quick to forgive, and ready to serve. We see an image of this judgment in Matthew 25. When Jesus gathers his disciples and his followers on the Mount of Olives, it's just a couple of days before he will be arrested and will lay down his own life for his sheep. Right after he tells the parable of the valuable coin, which we talked about last week, he teaches about the judgment of the nations. And he says, Jesus says that when he returns, when the Son of Man, when the human one comes in all of his majesty, in all of his glory, and his angels are with him, he will sit on his throne. And he will gather all the nations together in front of him, and he will separate them like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he will put on his right, and the goats he will put on his left. And many of us know this passage where Jesus rewards the sheep and he punishes the goats. And his reward or his punishment stems from how they treated him. Did they feed him when he was hungry? Did they give him something to drink when he was thirsty? Did they clothe him when he was naked? Did they care for him when he was sick? Did they visit him when he was in prison? Did they welcome him when he was a stranger? And of course, the sheep asked, Lord, when did we do all this for you? And the goats say, hey, when did we neglect you like that? And Jesus responds, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. You did it to me. When you did it for the poor and the powerless and the pariah, when you did it for anyone who couldn't help themselves, then you did it to me. And when you didn't help them, you did it to me. Now, a lot of us as Christians think Jesus is talking about us. Except he's not. Jesus is teaching his followers how he will judge the nations. And here, nations in the Greek is the word ethnos, meaning all the other people, all the other tribes, but more specifically, it means the Gentiles, or precisely, the unbelievers. This is how Jesus will judge those who are not his people, who are not his followers. And then those who are with him, those angels, can be the supernatural beings we all dream about, or it can also mean his messengers. In other words, it can be people like you and I, those who proclaim the good news of great joy to all people. And these messengers stand in contrast to the religious and political leaders of his day. But this is how Jesus, Christ the King, will judge non-Christians. And why does that matter? It matters because the Lord of life, the Lord of heaven, our Lord, King Jesus, expects his subjects to already behave this way. That's his kingdom ethic. That's his expectation of us, of me, and of you. That if we didn't already live this way, then did we really know Jesus? Who is your Lord? Is it Jesus? Is he really your king? If so, are you following his kingdom ethic? Are you abiding by his kingdom rule to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength with all you've got, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to show your love for God by how you love your neighbor, by how you love the stranger, by how you love everyone else you meet? See, this is not a Jesus who tells us who to hate and who to cast out and who to condemn. No, it's just the opposite. This is a Jesus saying, who did you welcome in my name? Because if it's not the people who aren't like you, then you're missing it. Because if you're not welcoming those who look different, who think different, or maybe even act a little different than you, then you're not meeting the expectations of your king. And this is Jesus' expectations of those who follow him. You know, if your religion has God hating all the same people that you hate, you can be sure that you've made God in your own image. And making God in our image makes us self-righteous. Instead, we need to allow God to remake us in Christ's image. And can we submit ourselves to Christ and to the image of our King? And friends, this is not about earning salvation, because we cannot earn God's grace. We cannot earn our salvation or resurrection. This is all a gift by God's grace. Yet when we accept them, we also accept the responsibility to help other people experience God's salvation. This is the life of a sheep in the flock of the good and great shepherd. Now, how many of us know the difference between a sheep and a goat? Do you? You know the difference between a goat and a sheep? Sheep follow, goats butt. I'll let you think about that. But this, but that, but I can't. They've always got excuses. And sheep find a way to follow. Few people naturally want to be the servant. Few people naturally want to be the sheep. Yet we're called to be sheep. We're called to follow. And when we get lost, we know the voice of our shepherd. Are you willing to follow that voice? You know, maybe there's something about this idea that we need to be more tough people. Yet instead of this idea of toxic masculinity, we need to be women and men that are resilient and resolute followers of Jesus. We need people who aren't afraid to love their neighbors. We need people who aren't afraid to love their enemies. We need people who aren't afraid to be selfless servants. We need people who aren't afraid to welcome the stranger. We need people who aren't afraid to live by faith and give generously. We need people who aren't afraid to call up and visit the person who's been absent or sick or lonely. We need people who aren't afraid to feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty. We need people who aren't afraid to share the good news and what God has done for you. We need people who aren't afraid to see the image of Christ in every other person. We need people who call Jesus Lord, say yes to Christ the King, and live into the kingdom ethic. So will you join with each other by being one with Christ and one with each other, by being led by our Lord as the body of Christ, with Him as our head and with Jesus as our King? Will you serve Christ the King? Because Christ is King. Jesus is Lord. So let's serve our Lord by living and working so that God's kingdom can be as real here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.